Nikita Koloff, the Russian nightmare, no, the devil's nightmare, here from It's Time to Man Up, challenging men to step into their true manhood. Your chosen Truth Network podcast is starting in just a few seconds. Enjoy it, share it, but most of all, thank you for listening to the Truth Podcast Network.
This is the Truth Network.
I am in Washington, D.C. with one of my favorite people on planet Earth. And I've been to one of the darkest places on planet Earth with him and seen some of the brightest witness for Christ in that dark place. I'm talking about the Darfur region of Sudan, just over a decade ago, where I went with Brad Phillips and the Persecution Project Foundation. I'm Stu Epperson, host of Truth Talk. Brad, Darfur is the least of the nation of Sudan's problems right now. You've built hospitals through Persecution Project Foundation, our friends at Voice of Martyrs, Samaritan's Purse, all kinds of friends. With open arms, you know, Frank Harris's ministry, all kinds of friends have helped Persecution Project because you're there and you're a collaborator. And you don't care who gets the credit. And you've helped build the hospitals and rebuild schools and everything in the Nuba Mountains of Sudan. But Khartoum, the capital of Sudan, is on fire. There are bodies in the streets. Our listeners need to know. Can you please give us the straight truth on what's happening there right now?
Stu, it's great to be with you. I just got back to the U.S. About 2 days ago. In the 15th of April, war erupted in the capital in Khartoum between the top two generals, both of whom are war criminals and Islamists responsible for all kinds of murder and rape and genocide. And they've unleashed a war in the capital, which has claimed thousands and thousands of lives. More than a million people have fled the city. You know, Sudan has about 40 to 45 million people. And out of that, there are about 10 million people that live in Khartoum, which is the most affected area right now. People living inside the city are experiencing some of the worst catastrophic conditions you can imagine. They're under bombardment and shelling. The Sudan Armed Forces is bombing and shelling urban, civilian, residential areas every day since it's been more than a month now. This is May the 17th, I think, and May the 18th. So it started on April 15th. Every single day since then, they've been bombing and shelling. At the same time, the Janjaweed, now known as the Rapid Support Force, is deployed in the city. They've been going house to house, looting, killing, raping, stealing. They put snipers in different parts of the city. Snipers especially are targeting communities where we have a lot of Nuba Christians are living. When they're coming out of their homes looking for food or water or medicine or basic supplies to survive, they're being shot and killed in crossfire. Some of them are being killed by snipers. Some people are starving inside of their homes because they can't get out. We've been on the phone with some of our people up there while the shelling is going on. And then the phone line is cut, and then you find out that their building was destroyed. So there's a lot of bad things happening. Right now, the Nuba Mountains, which was the target of some of the worst persecution, is now becoming the safe haven in Sudan. And you have 6 million Nuba in Sudan, and about half of those, more than half of them, identify as Christian. And 1 million of those are trapped in Khartoum, and another 2 million are trapped in other war-affected areas in northern Sudan outside of Nuba Mountains. And all of them are trying to make their way out of the city through some very dangerous passageways to get down to Kordofan. So we had, just in one area where we work, we had 12,000 families that have shown up in the last 3 weeks. That's about 70,000 people. We've been advised that to expect another 200,000 or 300,000 people in the next couple of weeks. We're approaching the rainy season. People don't have shelter. These people that are fleeing the war are coming into another area with nothing. So we're mobilizing all the resources that we have to try to prepare the way to help the church. The local church there is really the champion and the hero in this war right now. They're going into homes and rescuing people, and they're also receiving people in the Nuba Mountains. And we're trying to come alongside them and help them with some shelter items like tarps. Probably the number one thing we would need right now is something simple like a $40 tarp to cover a family while they're rebuilding their life. So there's a lot going on. We're thankful that these 12,000 families reached to safety in the last couple of days, and we're praying that God is going to bring out some other people and provide the resources for those people to survive once they reach the safety of the Nuba Mountains.
So there's a couple things going on. First of all, establishing what actually is happening in Sudan right now. There's all kinds of different reports, and people just don't know how bloody. Imagine if your capital city, where you live, you walked out the front door, then you walk to the closest intersection, and there's literally bodies that have been decaying. How long?
Yeah, you know, Stu, in the news, they're talking about hundreds of people who have died. But I think if you multiply that figure by three and add a zero, it's going to be less than the actual number of people. We have videos and images that are being sent to us every day of different neighborhoods that are just littered with corpses. They're just being left there to rot. Guys on our team that are going around trying to assist people and find people trapped in their homes are having to walk over bodies to get into different neighborhoods. It's a really tragic situation. All of the medical facilities, all of the different types of supply, you know, grocery stores, factories, food factories have all been destroyed by the war. So people are stuck, and they're stuck in an urban area with whatever supplies they have inside of their house. Most of these people don't even have $20 hidden under the mattress, and the cost to get out of the city is a couple $100 per person, and some of these are big families. So people are going out, they're leaving their home, they're looking for food. We're getting stories all the time of families that we know where their son was missing for a couple of days because they sent him out to get water or food. And then they sent out another member of the family to look for him, and they find him dead in the street. So it's a bad situation, and it's being perpetrated by these Muslim Brotherhood Islamist extremists who've been in charge of Sudan for the last 35 years, and unfortunately who've been given a lot of legitimacy and enabled by the international community, including the U.S. government, especially in the last 4 years as Sudan's been in a transition. Instead of holding these people accountable for their behavior, instead of bringing them to justice and putting pressure for a real transition to representative government, to a real transition to religious freedom and things like that, we've seen the international community play the role of enabling and of legitimizing the Khartoum government, even deceiving people into telling them the last 4 years that there was a change and that there was now freedom and religious freedom in Sudan, which is a farce. So now all of those lies are being exposed, and tragically, millions and millions of people, really the whole nation of Sudan, is groaning and is suffering right now. People are dying every day. It's a really tragic and horrific situation.
It's a strategic country, one of the largest landmass countries in Africa, located, you know, there in Africa, bridging with Egypt, the Middle East, very strategic. Yeah. And an opportunity for souls, an opportunity to do some things. And the Persecution Project, you're on the front line, Brad. People that support your ministry can help get these people tarps and Bibles, and you're one of the few folks that actually can get in there.
There's a lot of things that people can do. There's simple things people can do. We started something called the Nuba Breakfast Club. People can go to NubaBreakfastClub.com. It's a platform for trying to support medical services in the Nuba Mountains. And we need to do everything that we can to expand and enhance those services now, especially as we're seeing a flood of people who are fleeing destruction in Khartoum. We need to do everything we can to bolster our efforts there at Jagaba Referral Hospital. So encourage people to consider giving up a family meal out at a restaurant, you know, $30 a month. One commitment that you can make the difference and save a life and help us and sustain our efforts there at Jagaba Referral Hospital. Prayer is the biggest thing that people need. This, you know, so many of these people are part of our spiritual family, a part of the body of Christ. They need to be encouraged. They need to be lifted up in prayer. We need to remember them, especially during this critical time. You know, this is a time when we can't faint. This is a time when we need to stand up, and we need to make ourselves available for service, and we need to be interceding on behalf of our persecuted family there in Sudan. And it's really a time of terror for a lot of people. And I thank you for sharing with your listeners over so many years, but especially now, this is a time we really need to mobilize a lot of prayer on behalf of that nation of Sudan.
They're going through entire regime changes. There's a massive civil war, and the slick spokespeople for these Islamic fronts that are in there killing people in cold blood are trying to convince the UN, they're trying to convince the U.S. that we're peaceful. We're creating peace when they're not. They're murderous and they're bloody. Brad Phillips' Persecution Project is doing something about it. They're on the front lines. And say one more thing, Brad, before we get out of here.
You know, one of the scriptures that comes to mind for me is in the Proverbs. It says, if you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is small. Rescue those who are being taken away to their death. Hold back those who are stumbling to the slaughter. If you say, behold, we didn't know this, does not he who weighs the heart perceive it? Does not he who keeps watch over your soul know it? You know, God wants us to be available, and we might say to ourselves, what can I do? There's nothing I can do. But we know about this. We know about this slaughter that's happening, and there are many, many different things that we can do. The first thing that God wants us to do is be available, and he can provide the resources. And so let's pray for our family there in Sudan.
Amen. Watch the website one more time for that cool breakfast club idea. I love that idea, helping people. That's a tangible way to help people get food, get supplies, get Bibles in this area to for people that are trying to get out of Khartoum where all the bullets are flying.
NubaBreakfastClub.com. It's a simple way. I think everybody who's listening to the show has the ability to participate in this platform and help make medical services available and support the persecuted church there in Sudan.
This is the Truth Network.